This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. You can join the show here and bring up whatever you want. We're kicking off the second hour talking about world religions and a rise in popularity, apparently, of the satanic churches out there, at least according to The Telegraph, which is looking at the numbers, at least in the UK. I don't know if they have numbers for the US, but in a lot of cases, what's true in the UK tends to be mirrored to some extent in the United States. We are seeing that fewer people are identifying with Christianity as well. It's not just the Satanists that are on the rise. Other religions are increasing their numbers, but the number of people who describe themselves as no religion is also going up more so than probably any other. So it's Ian and Aria in the studio here tonight, but also our phones are open. That means you can call in and talk about anything you want. Coming up, though, the ChatGPT, the latest on this artificial, so-called artificial intelligence. It continues to be in the news. It's, you know, a big deal.
It's hard not to talk about it.
Yep, and you've got a story about it, Aria, about possibly putting writers out of business, which is kind of what ChatGPT does. It writes things.
Yes.
You can give it an assignment, and it'll crank it out in less than a minute, I think, in most cases. So we'll talk about that coming up here, and let's first go to your phone calls and thoughts, though. Robert is on the line listening in Daytona Beach. Go ahead, Robert.
Hi, I'm glad to talk with you. I would like to address Aria. I was reading a book by a doctor, and this is medical doctor, psychology and all that, but the thing was, she discussed PARIS, a term called PARIS. It's an acronym for partial androgen receptor insensitivity syndrome.
Hold on, one more time. Partial androgen receptor
insensitivity
syndrome. Okay.
Yeah, and it means that at conception, the egg is got a genetic mutation that prevents it from developing completely when it's responding to a Y chromosome. And so what happens is the Y chromosome sends a signal, and the egg just does not develop, or the body ends up developing, and then the female is the dominant, default development.
So it's sort of like an explanation for the existence of intersex people, like XXY people and other intersex types? I don't know.
Yes, there's a physiology, she claims in her book, it's called The Story of Testosterone, the hormone that dominates and divides us.
Okay, hold on. Before we get too deep into this, as somebody who's kind of on the outside of this, I mean, yeah, Aria, you and I work together, but I don't know what an intersex person is, so can you explain that to me?
Yeah, sure. So everyone tends to have two chromosomes, chromosome pair, XX female or XY male. But in reality, we've learned that it's a little more complicated than that. And there's a lot of people running around. We don't know what percentage. I suspect it's probably like 1% or less than 1% who are XXY or maybe even XYY. I don't know because I don't know all of the details about intersex. But it's an explanation for some people, like the black woman who is like a really good sprinter. They tested her for testosterone, and they ended up kicking her out with just an ordinary cis woman, right?
Huh.
And part of the explanations put forward by people on the internet was that she's actually intersex and just doesn't know, and that's why she had such high levels of testosterone.
So just to clarify something, the XXY, and what was the other one?
I don't know, the XYY is a thing.
XYY. Whatever they are, the three chromosomes together Can they have either genitals?
Presumably.
Okay.
I don't think it has much to do with their actual anatomy.
So it doesn't show, per se, in a certain way. Okay.
I believe so.
Got it.
Yeah. And this author claims that it exactly has to do with anatomy. So this is maybe controversial in many circles. This person was petitioned against in her university to be thrown off the faculty because there's such controversy concerning her.
So this person said that intersexism is related to anatomy? Is that right? Is hermaphroditism?
Not exactly. It's this developmental disorder where a person, her prime subject was a woman who was actually a male, but because of the default.
So she was a trans man, I think, is what you're saying.
The default development order of her body or his body, she had all the attributes of a female body, but she had male organs, but they had not developed. They stayed inside of her.
Okay, hold on a second.
I just
want to clarify what you're saying here. When you say she had all of the attributes of a female body, but male organs were there, but they were inside of her? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, in the blood, it creates a disorder. This person had complete androgen insensitivity syndrome disorder. So she.
Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Just pick one.
A female, a perfect female specimen.
Okay.
It was a trans. I mean, did this person even suggest that she was in fact a man, or is this just uncovered this by doing some other biological test on the person?
Good question.
Well, did biological testing on her hair to determine what her blood level of hormones was that she generated these male characteristics indicating that she had testes, but not ovaries. They were able
to clarify what you're saying here. You're saying this woman who had a vagina also had testicles inside of her somewhere instead of ovaries.
Yeah, and the ovaries did not ever appear her body.
Okay, did they actually demonstrate this, or did they just test her testosterone level and say, wow, that's high, you must have a pair?
This is very interesting. I found it fascinating, and it was a comfort to me to understand how doctors approach this condition. But this,
so what did they do with this woman? Because, I mean, if she's got testicles inside of her, then there are procedures that could, like, definitively prove that. But it sounds like she's just saying, oh, well, her testosterone levels are high. She must, you know, have testicles.
Yeah, which one is it?
Well, the doctors are offering to do operations on her to correct her, but she was comfortable in her own body the way it is. So,
but you still didn't answer the question, and maybe you don't know, which is fine. Does this woman have actual testicles inside of her, or are they just presuming that because she has a lot of testosterone?
No, they absolutely defined her testes, and that's
you said they defined?
That's different compared to her body. Her body was off in all other ways female.
Were they located in a different place besides where her ovaries would be?
See, in the development, in progress development, the testes actually descend into the abdomen, descend down. But in this androgen-resistant state condition, they do not descend. And so the default position, the default development progress of the body becomes female in all other ways.
Could she... Okay, so she has no ovaries, so she has no eggs.
Yes, but she does have testicles. Amazing.
Yeah.
It sounds to me, the way this call began, you suggested I might have this. It sounds like I could potentially have the exact opposite of this, but I assure you,
you have
I do have testicles.
Well,
and they did, in fact, descend.
That's why it's a wide range of development anomalies, you could say, because of this exceptional.
Well, there you
condition.
Go. So the point of your call is to just simply bring up this Paris thing, bring it to our listeners and Aria's attention.
And let you know that it's a comfort to me to actually know this and understand the world a little better.
All right. Very good, Robert. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
the number here is 603-283-6160. Kind of hard to get a grasp on there in the beginning, but I think we kind of sussed out some of the important information. So
that's generally not how I expect calls to go when people want to call in and talk about gender and anatomy and stuff with me. I usually expect it to go a completely different direction.
Certainly an unusual discussion there. The number is 603-283-6160. We were talking about religion and the decline in Christianity, increases in the number of Satanists and other various different belief systems. According to The Telegraph over in the UK, they're looking at what they consider to be a wider trend. Dr. David Robertson, who's a lecturer on religious studies at the Open University, said, quote, "The appeal of a lot of new religions, including Satanism, is that they offer a form of religion that directly addresses the social issues that matter more to younger people, especially their willingness to be activists. And not only do they offer an opportunity for this sort of stuff to actively challenge laws, but also to appeal to the activists among the young people." Isn't that what he just said? Professor Linda Woodhead, head of the Department of Theology and Religious Studies at King's College, added that Satanism is a young person's religion, but that, quote, "the bigger phenomenon we're seeing is the incredible diversification of the religious and spiritual landscape." She says further, there's now a lot of solitary exploration, which is what I was discussing earlier, where somebody leaves a organized religion and then just figures out for themselves what their belief system is and should be.
I don't know that it's fair to say that Satanism is a young person's religion. Certainly, Satanism is a newer religion.
It's been around for less than, 100 years or something?
Yeah, certainly less than 100. I don't know exactly how long. I think LaVey was like early 50s, or Crowley maybe was 50s. I don't know the exact time frame, but it rose up around the prevailing cultural ideas of the day, the counter-cultural ideas of the day, specifically, which was pro-tolerance, pro-love, in a lot of cases, free love, and the hippie movement and stuff like that. But that's the environment in which Satanism grew, and this stodgy, no, you can't be a man wearing a dress, you can't do drag shows, or you can't smoke pot, you can't do any of these things that Christians generally didn't want people to do, or just conservative Christian society in general didn't want people to do. Satanism rose in an era where there was a lot of pushback against that. And because of that, it encompasses a lot of the ideas that those countercultural movements took on. Mm-hmm. So that's going to appeal to people who are younger, but that's just because Satanism was born in that particular culture that caused it to have these tendencies. Give it 500 years and Satanism is going to be a dinosaur like Christianity is today.
Could be. Yeah, it's hard to say what religion would look like, 500 years from now. Although Christianity is still very popular, right? Like, it's still 46% of the people in the UK at the moment. They say further here, there's a lot of solitary exploration, particularly with the internet, and you can find anything to fit your particular identity, interests, values, or beliefs. And that's an interesting point here because, and one of the reasons why Satanism is probably on the rise now, in the 50s or whatever, it would have only been able to be spread by word of mouth. There weren't going to be easily accessible information in any place about Satanism. Like, you would have to hear about it from someone, and then maybe they'd give you a book, because the odds that you're going to be able to go down to Barnes & Noble or, Amazon wouldn't exist, right? The local bookstore probably didn't carry the Satanic Bible, so you wouldn't be able to get any good information from any kind of source in the early days. Now you can, and that explains why they're seeing this sort of, what was the word that they used? Diversification of the religious and spiritual landscape. Because now you're not locked in
as easily to whatever your parents were, which is what a lot of people, you know, that's how people grow up, right? Like your parents are a certain belief. They pass that on to you. Most people don't question it. Well, now you have the opportunity to come across all kinds of other alternatives. It's not just the church across the street anymore that's trying to, you know, beckon you in. It's every church everywhere in the world has equal access, or at least you have equal access to its information or their information.
Yeah, I wish I was, you know, one of these teenagers today who's got all of these opportunities, because I look back, I was tremendously curious about Buddhism. Mm-hmm. Right after I left Christianity and I was exploring other religions, Buddhism always had a certain appeal to me. Just on the few things that I knew about it, like the Four Noble Truths, I think, was the extent of what I knew about Buddhism, and it appealed to me. I was like, I want to learn more about this. But there was no Buddhist temple nearby that mm-hmm. I could go visit. There was nothing. There was no group of people I could go and talk to. Maybe I could check a book out from the library, but is that really going to do me any good? Probably not. I could probably... No, but... That would require getting my lazy father to take me to the library, and yeah. that would have never happened. And they certainly weren't going to carry these books at my, you know, high school's library.
Right.
So the opportunities were very limited. The internet did exist then, but we didn't have it. Not everyone did have the internet back then. I wish I could have explored that with the tools of today, where they're like, oh, I'm curious. This is what I think, you know. Yeah. Just enter whatever you happen to believe in the searches, and it'll pop up. The top result is... Maybe check out this religion. You believe that all living beings suffer and that this suffering causes unhappiness and blah, 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 blah. Google that. Voila. Buddhist. Check out Buddhism.
Yeah. It's definitely a changed environment completely. I did have the internet in the 1990s when I was a teenager. And so
You were like one of the first, weren't you?
Well, I mean, I don't know about that, but I mean, I was certainly, I was online.
I don't mean one, like one of the first people, but okay, I don't know what I meant.
I was certainly online as early as probably 1994 or somewhere in that range.
Damn, that was early on.
We got cable modems in Sarasota County in 1996, if I recall correctly. We were the first, I think, test market for Comcast. Or one of the first test markets for Comcast. So I've been on broadband for a very, very long time.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I grew up as a...
I was using dial-up as late as, like, 2008, I think.
Man, that's brutal. Wow.
Mississippi, man. Yeah. It's back there.
So I grew up as a Presbyterian Christian. And I can't tell you what the difference between a Presbyterian Christian and any other Christian was.
If it helps, I couldn't either for the most part. I know that Baptists and Methodists, that they disagree about baptism.
Yeah, I know the Baptists get the full dunking in the pool. The only reason I know that is because there was a Baptist church near my neighborhood, and my neighborhood's association or whatever had their meetings at the church, and I was bewildered at how big their bathtub was. Like, it was just a human-sized, like, tall-level bathtub that you could completely submerge somebody in. It's like, wow, that's pretty wild. So anyway, that's how I grew up, but I did discover on the Internet, I think the organization was called American Atheists, the American Atheists, and they had a website way back in the 1990s and the mid-90s, and so that's how I learned a lot about, you know, all of the contradictions in the Bible. I certainly hadn't read the whole thing or anything like that. But they're very informative information that absolutely helped me. I mean, I was already on the path of questioning things, but getting those questions answered was something you couldn't do in church, right? Like, that was the problem. They didn't have the answers to the questions that I had, but the internet did. Of course, I ended up becoming a pantheist probably a decade after that. So I was like an atheist for probably about 10 years before I finally sort of rediscovered God. But if you want to share your thoughts here on the rise of Satanism, the number is 603-283-6160. The Reverend Diarmid McCullough, the emeritus professor of the history of the church at the University of Oxford, said, "I'd say all these are symptoms of people who've been disappointed by other religions or who may only know them superficially and who are looking for a system of belief to make their own, since our society encourages individual consumer choice and research," he said. Contrary to the stereotypes...
It's interesting. Who was this? He was an professor at where now?
Professor of the History of the Church.
I wonder if he knows that he basically just quoted one of the openings of one of the chapters of the Satanic Bible.
That he does not
which
know.
Is effectively that every religion that's ever existed, every god that humans have ever worshipped, was just invented by human beings.
Sure.
So make up your own god and worship that.
Contrary to the stereotypes, only a fringe minority of Satanists actually worship the devil. Instead, the religion's fascination with Satan is more metaphorical, identifying with the figure of the rebel, as epitomized in the protagonists of John Milton's epic poem Paradise Lost. Satanists generally do not believe in a higher power and instead revolve around a religion of the self, believing that it's up to individuals to define their own moral code and to develop themselves as their own godheads.
Which is all really good. It's all really good, and I really, really like it. And I can see how the Church of Satan became what it became. Because it got wrapped up in the...
You mean corrupted?
Yes. It got wrapped up in the democratic ideology that by becoming part of this other thing, this great country, this America, we can be better, we can...
This other thing that's greater than us, but is totally not God.
Yes. That's effectively what they did. Yeah. And it's sad because, as this guy pointed out in this article, Satanism is adversarial. It is about rebellion against the king, the arbitrary authority of a god or king or ruler. Because look at the Bible from any rational perspective, and Yahweh is a brutal tyrant. He commands, he says, do this, and if you don't, I'm going to punish you. Well, that's exactly...
I need sacrifice.
Yeah, that's all governments say is do this or we'll punish you. And if you ask them, well, why? Those will be because we said so.
Right, and the government wants you to sacrifice your value to them all the time.
Yep. And Lucifer came along, or Satan, and said, no, we're...
The light bringer.
Right, we're going to rebel against this. We're going to think for ourselves. We're going to challenge authority, question authority, and we're going to demand authority hold itself accountable. And, of course, authority figures, they don't like that at all. So, like Zeus did to Prometheus, or Yahweh did to Lucifer, or governments do to rebellious people all the time. Off with his head.
Yeah. However, this does not preclude Satanists from having fun getting together and doing rituals in the forest, unquote, by candlelight, encircled and enrobed. Chaplain Leopold, this is the guy from...
There's a lot of fun to be had in satanic rituals, man.
This is the guy from the Global Order of Satan UK. Chaplain Leopold said that ritual is used as a form of community bonding and meditation to give people the time to develop, quote, your own personal vision of yourself as Satan. You wouldn't recognize a Satanist most of the time if you pass them on the street, he said, but then we like to have the ritual space, which is when we don the robes and light the candles and hail Satan and everything else that we wish to do. He said further, because we embrace that aspect, it's almost like a form of mindfulness, a form of self-actualization. And while religions think they're casting magic spells when they perform their rituals, whereas we just believe that we're all coming together and affirming our bonds as humans. He said, you should never feel like it's a chore going to a satanic ritual. It should be like, oh, God, it's Sunday. It shouldn't be like, oh, God, it's Sunday, we have to go to church. It should be something you want to engage in, that you're enjoying and benefiting from. And that should be true of anything that you do.
I was going to say, many Christians enjoy going to church.
Not
all of them dread it.
But if you don't, you're going to the wrong place.
Yeah.
There's more coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160. And there's a variety of Christian options out there. Some of them are less stuffy than others, right? So there's more coming up, though. You can share your thoughts and bring up whatever's on your mind here. We got ChatGPT and more on religion on the way.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. A tornado roared through parts of the Houston area this afternoon. This man telling KPRC-TV he rode out the twister in his home.
First thought was to go to the bathroom. I was like, the bathrooms all have windows in them, and one of the windows is blown out. I was like, we got to get somewhere, and we huddled in the hallway until it passed. It was really crazy.
Damage has been reported to several homes and trailers. Some structures reportedly partially collapsed in parts of southeast Houston, as well as in nearby Deer Park and Pasadena. Classified documents have been discovered at former Vice President Pence's Indiana home. As a result, the Department of Justice and FBI have launched a probe into how the documents wound up in Pence's house. All the victims from Saturday's deadly shooting in Monterey Park, California, have been identified, but police still searching for a motive. They're also coming under fire for the amount of time that went by before they notified the public that a gunman was still on the loose. John Schaefer, USA News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Yeah. Yep, it is Free Talk Live. The phones are open. You can join the show here. I want to say thank you to our Free Talk Live supporters like Shooty, who is a member of our AMPS program. You can join Shooty. Shooty is silver level, which means that he is doing $5 a month. That's all we ask over at amps.freetalklive.com. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It is a way for you to get behind what we do here if you like us talking about the ideas of freedom and liberty and peace on a regular basis here on Free Talk Live, then you can join the AMPS program. And it will help us, hopefully, stay mostly advertiser-free. Like I said before, if we never have another live sponsor again, I'd be totally fine with that. Obviously, on a radio show, we still have to have commercial breaks just because we would never get on any commercial radio stations if we didn't. So those right. will stay.
Well, I would assume if that was the case, then they would just, like, do a hard cut when we were talking, like, in the middle of a conversation?
Yeah, but that sounds terrible. Okay. Why would you want to do that? I wouldn't want to...
Yeah, someone on LRN used to do that, didn't they? They would just, like, talk right through. They would just ignore it, and then it would come back.
Yeah, I really hated that, too, when that happened. That doesn't happen anymore, thank goodness. But that's because we got rid of all the other live shows on LRN. But anyway, we're continuing here, and we really appreciate your direct support. That makes this possible, but we could use some more of it because, like, technically we don't technically have the bills paid here from direct support. So if we want to continue with no advertisers, like I said, I'd be totally fine with it. So please help us out like Shooty did over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. We've been talking about religion here, specifically the satanic religions, which, as they point out here in the story at the Telegram, and as I'm sure Aria, you as a high priestess in the Reformed Satanic Church would also agree with, the Satanists of today, they're not actually worshiping Satan per se. They don't believe in a devil or, you know, a guy with a trident or whatever Satan has. All of that stuff, all the imagery from Christianity, they reject this sort of supernatural aspect or whatever of Satanism, and they embrace the individuality aspect, as you were saying, the rebellion aspect, or at least supposedly, as you've criticized the Satanic Church, the original Satanic Church. They said one thing, and then they did another thing, which was to say, support supposedly individuality, support rebellion, but then actually go and support the government and support the state, which is, of course, the antithesis of rebellion. It is the suppression of rebellion and the suppression of individuality. And so those are some of the things that led you to found the Reformed Satanic Church, I presume?
Yes, exactly those.
Yeah. So, you know, not all satanic churches are created the same, in the same way that not all Christian churches are identical. So, you know, do your own research when it comes to this particular topic. Now, the Satanic Church we were introduced to tonight that, you know, they don't get into the specifics of its tenets or whatever, is this new one to us, which was the Global Order of Satan UK. We should see if we can pull up their website at some point just to see, like at a glance, see if you can figure out like how they differ.
That's a good point.
If they differ from the Church of Satan. But meanwhile, here, there's a few more thoughts from the Telegraph story about the Satanists. Their numbers are increasing in the UK. They've gone up 100, and I believe it was like 140 or 170%, quite a bit, in the last decade, from a couple thousand to about 5,000 individuals in the UK. And they're pointing out here that, you know, when you go to a church, it should be a fun thing. And I think that's true whether we're talking about Satanism or we're talking about Christianity or something else. It shouldn't be a chore. It should be something that you enjoy. And that's just generally, you know, that's generally, I think, a life truth is like if you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. Why wouldn't God want you to have a good time in whatever form of worship that you're doing?
A lot of these religions seem to be about not having a good time, like,
yeah, that's true.
Sacrificing a good time in this world, being miserable in return for some sort of better life in the next.
Well, I mean, that may be their teachings or whatever, and we can criticize that, but I was just, like, meaning the actual form of worship, right? So, like, even though Christians have that belief that you're talking about there, some of them are a little more fun with their worship, right? So, like, you go to a black church, they're singing, they got tambourines, they're dancing, they definitely seem to be having more fun than some stodgy old white church where they're, you know, singing from a hymnal and everyone's standing still and looking straight forward. Like, there's a significant difference in the energy of that room.
Yeah, but I don't know that I disagree that the Southern Baptists who are just standing there, you know, or sitting and singing along in the hymnal are having less fun.
Okay, I don't know either. I'll tell you, it wasn't fun for me as a kid growing up a Presbyterian.
But I think they probably just experience it differently. In the same way that I would have fun watching a football game with, you know, friends hanging out drinking or whatever. It wouldn't be my choice of what to do, but I would still have fun, but I wouldn't be jumping up and down screaming and shouting when my team scored a goal.
Right.
As a friend of mine.
Because you're not a true believer.
Right.
A little bit more here, though. Chaplain Leopold said that because of the stigma associated with Satanism, many people may not feel comfortable to declare themselves as affiliated with the religion.
So, I know that feeling all too well.
So, yeah, what he's suggesting here is that maybe the numbers are higher than what the official government numbers are suggesting. Malcolm Jerry, who's the co-founder of the Satanic Temple based in Salem, Massachusetts, suggested that the ONS figures, which is that's their census over there in the UK, were a drastic underestimate. He said his organization, which was founded in 2012, has 21,996 members registered from the UK. So remember, they only found like 5,000 in the national census.
Okay.
So he's saying he knows of at least four times that many just for his satanic church, which wouldn't count the other satanic churches that are represented there.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and he says they have around 1 million followers worldwide.
Oh, okay, yeah, those are your Facebook likes don't count, dude.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Is he counting followers here, or is like Facebook likes, or is he actually saying they have members? Because he used the
when
term
he says
members,
1 million followers worldwide. I don't think there's any way he means any sort of like membership actual database,
paying
or anything
dues
like that,
or something, yeah, like that.
It's gotta just be. I mean, I don't think the Libertarian Party, the National Libertarian Party of the U.S., has a million people.
No, hell no. So, I don't think they even have 1 million followers. I don't know. I think it was like 700,000 or something the last time I looked.
Yeah, so to think that this one satanic organization in the United Kingdom has it, I mean, Satanism would be a much bigger deal if it had that level of popularity and notoriety.
Yeah, now you made me curious. I'm going to have to pull up the Satanic Temple.
While you're doing that, I did happen to pull up
140,000 followers on Twitter.
Okay.
So well, something
not awful.
You were going
to
say.
Yeah, I did happen to pull up their teachings. They don't.
This is the Global Order of Satan?
Yes.
Okay. In the UK.
They are very similar to the Satanic Temple's teachings. Okay. The Satanic Temple had 7. The Global Order of Satan has 6, which I find curious. I want to know what they omitted, what they removed from the tenets of Satanism as defined by the Satanic Temple, but
I want to get through them, but let me just get the rest of the, we're at the last paragraph here, so yeah. I'm going to just wrap this one out here. So the co-founder of the Satanic Temple claims over 1 million followers worldwide. He said, the demographics of the Satanic Temple membership are fairly broad, but certainly younger people tend to be more engaged in activism, so they are more visible. I think our rise in popularity is founded on having a set of principles and values that resonates with many people and our rejection of hypocrisy and corruption.
I like it.
So there you go. All right. So now with that, you have
these. So what are those principles?
Indeed. So I don't have those here for the Satanic Temple, but you have them for
I have
the Global
both the
Order.
Satanic Temple and the Global Order pulled up. I only pulled up the Satanic Temple because I want to compare them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to have to do that after the break because it's too much information to process while also talking.
Yeah, that's fine.
So the Global Order of Satan has 6 fundamental pillars of what they believe. 1, self-fulfillment and personal understanding allow us to support ourselves and therefore others. So, personal understanding and self-fulfillment, these are important things. Understandable.
Yeah. Oh, you got to be able to support yourself before you can support someone else.
2 is respect the inviolable body, autonomous will, and sovereign right of every individual to guide their own life and being, remembering that enjoyment of these rights is predicated on respect for the same and others.
Yes, this is a pretty big one here. Respect of the inviolable body. Inviolable meaning that thou shalt not violate.
Right.
Someone else's body.
Yes. And that's almost identical to the wording of the Satanic Temple, which is one's body is inviolable, subject to one's will alone.
Okay.
I like the Satanic Temple's better because it's shorter. And yeah. I guess the point, same shorter, point across.
Yeah, shorter is usually better if you can make the same point. That much is absolutely true.
However, they do rightly point out that remembering that enjoyment of these rights, autonomy and inviolable body, requires you to respect those same rights in others.
Okay, I like that. Do they hold to it? That's the question. Because you know the Church of Satan has fallen from their principles. This one's a relatively new church as of 2012, so they haven't been around for that long, just barely a decade at this point. So are they still sticking with it, or are they not so much? And if you're involved with the Satanic Temple and you want to call in here and share your thoughts on what's the reality on the ground of what are the members, what are the, I don't know if you call them ministers or preachers or whatever, what's the term now? Priestesses?
Priestesses? It probably varies from one group to the next on what they prefer to be called.
Yeah. Are these people actually respecting, not violating the, you know, individuality and the bodies of others, or are they advocating for the state?
Well, I would suggest the Satanic Temple, so far, in my experience with them, is holding true to its stated beliefs.
Okay. I mean, so far, the only thing I ever hear about them is that they challenge the state on inclusivity, which seems totally legit to me.
They do that, and they also argue for abortion rights and pro-choice things and pro-acceptance and tolerance. So, in my experience, they do that. They do uphold their beliefs, but maybe I'm wrong. 3, science, evidence, reason, and critical thinking should guide our beliefs about our universe. Truly critical thinking can only be... If they meant true, critical thinking can only be achieved by challenging your own preconceptions and opinions. providing a more balanced outlook to help us make better informed decisions.
Another good one, however, you know, it makes me wonder, what were they saying during COVID, right? So they're talking about challenging your own opinions and challenging, you know, standard beliefs or whatever.
That sounds like a really good litmus test. Like, let's find out what the global order of Satan was saying about, you know, masks and vaccines during COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, act with empathy, compassion, and wisdom towards yourself and others. Hard to argue with anything
there. I like that one.
Number five, justice.
That's a pretty universal one,
it
too.
It is.
Right? From pretty much any religion out there, you're going to hear something like that.
Number five is also very similar to one of the fundamental tenets of the Satanic Temple. Justice always takes precedence over law, institutions, and religious texts, as long as the pursuit of it does not countermand these pillars. And I don't like that at all. Yeah. What they're trying to say.
Contradictory.
Yes. What they're trying to say is, let me find it, the struggle for justice, where is it?
Are you looking for the Satanic Temple one?
Yeah, and I had it pulled up in front of me, but
I haven't been able to find them yet on their website, otherwise I would have had
Every tenet is a guiding principle designed to inspire nobility in action and thought. The spirit of compassion, wisdom, and justice should always prevail over the written or spoken word, which is basically the same thing. The law doesn't matter. Justice is what matters.
Okay.
And too many people get caught in this mindset of, oh, well, the law says this, and therefore that's what justice is. Satanism exists to point out that, no, just because the law says doesn't mean it's just.
Indeed, there's plenty of examples of that in, you know, Christianity, right, where God said A, B, and C, and it's like, well, that ain't right.
And the global order of Satan seems to be setting themselves up here to say, is a do as we say, not as we do kind of thing, as long as the pursuit of it does not countermand the pillars, the great pillars
of the law,
of the glorious global order of Satan.
Oh, I thought they were talking about the pillars of the law. Read the whole thing.
Well, these are the six pillars. Justice always takes precedence over laws, institutions, and religious texts, as long as the pursuit of justice does not countermand the pillars.
Okay. So, well, I see what they're saying. Like, if it countermands being empathetic or whatever the previous one said, then you wouldn't want to do that.
I don't know if I want to establish any. I think it's unwise to establish a sort of hard rule like that, where you know, you must never act without empathy, because maybe there's a scenario in which it's better to not act with compassion. Like,
perhaps
impossible though it is, right? We can all imagine a scenario where if you murdered an infant, the world would be a better place. But if you acted with empathy, you would not murder that infant, right?
Are we talking about baby Hitler right now?
Absolutely. Right? And it's a silly argument, but it goes to show that none of these hard and fast rules are always going to hold up in every single scenario. So,
that tends to be true about rules.
Yeah, so just don't make the rule. Just say justice takes precedence over laws, institutions, and religious texts. Leave it at that.
Okay.
Number six, all people make mistakes. Allow them to correct those mistakes as we seek acceptance in others over our own.
Agreed.
And I like that one. I think that's also one of the Satanic Temple tenets as well. Is it?
That's practicing forgiveness.
Yeah,
right?
No one's
that's
perfect.
What talking about.
And I think people are fallible, is what the Satanic Temple says.
Mm-hmm.
If one makes a mistake, one should do one's best to rectify it and resolve any harm that might have been caused.
Wait, that one was Satanic Temple?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
The Satanic Temple is very, when you listen to what the essence of what they're saying is, it's very libertarian in its message. You know, justice, compassion, empathy, freedom. The freedom of others must be respected, including the freedom to offend. That's the Satanic Temple. It's like,
I gotta like that.
One's body is inviolable.
Have you ever considered going down to Salem?
I've been to Salem.
And visiting their home office?
No.
I'm talking about Salem, Massachusetts?
Yeah, I've been to Salem, Massachusetts.
But you didn't go? You didn't stop by the Satanic Temple home offices while you were there?
I was there for... I was giving a friend a ride there. He was buying a car, and he just needed a ride there and back, so I didn't hang around.
Ah, darn it.
Yeah.
That could have been fun.
But I living as close to Salem, Massachusetts, I know. I'm a horrible Satanist for not having done it already.
You got to make a pilgrimage.
I know. Right? I know, man.
Let's go to the phones here. We got Joe in Maryland. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey,
you're
on the air. What's on your mind?
Okay, let's talk about, you guys were wondering who Jesus Christ is. Going to the castle in IC in 325 and... I was raised Catholic, so this is what they said. They said he is both man and God is three beings in one God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Okay, so you're saying the answer to the question is Jesus is both God and the Son of God?
He's in God.
He's not God.
And he's also the son of God. He was,
Sorry, your cell phone's kind of a little janky here. Can you repeat that one more time? You're saying he isn't God, or he is God?
Okay, he's both man and God.
He's man and God. So is he the son of God?
Exactly. Yes, and he is also the son of God.
Okay, so the answer,
God,
you're saying the answer is both. He is both God and the son of God.
Yes.
Okay.
How does that work?
That makes the most sense to me.
How does that work?
Okay.
I can't be my own parent.
And
if you're God, you can.
God is three beings in one God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Well, that's the part that doesn't make any sense to me.
You don't see any issue there with saying that God is three beings who are one being, who are three beings who are one being?
That's the part that makes absolutely no sense. I mean, why wouldn't God be all the beings?
But God, well, he is.
Okay.
God is three beings in one spirit.
Well, that's not the same thing. I said all of the beings. All of the beings.
He's all the beings incorporated.
Okay, so
none of them are God, but by their powers combined, they are God.
Would you say that you're a pantheist?
No, I believe in God, Yahweh, God of the Bible.
Okay,
well, I just want to clarify what you're saying then. So you're saying that your God is a Christian God?
He's Catholic, Christian, but really, see, here's what happened. The Christians spun off from Catholicism, so they don't worship everything that the Catholics do.
Okay.
So they probably won't be saved.
That's one of the things that amazes me about Christianity. If you look at just one denomination of Christianity and one denomination of Islam, then every single soul on this planet, every single person alive, is believed to be destined to eternal torture by someone else on this planet. And that's
horrifying.
No, that's not. And you say that. I mean, you say exactly like that's not a horrifying thing, dude. That's absolutely grotesque. That is Christianity and Islam. That's Yahweh's great gift to the world. Everyone believes everyone else is doomed to eternal torture, and they're okay with it.
How can you, Joe? I gotta say, I'm really confused by what you're saying here, because it sounded to me like you said a moment ago. It sounded like you said God is all of things and all religions, but then you just said that you think that only one particular belief system will be saved? Did I misunderstand you?
Exactly. That's what I said, because they don't keep the same law and they don't keep the same canon.
Huh?
Okay, but is there God the same God that you worship?
Yeah. Well, it all depends. Some people think...
what does God say?
Allah is different. Oh, God says he's ultimate.
Okay, but is only one group... What does Joe believe? Do you believe that only one group of people is going to be saved?
Who am I to believe that? I'm Catholic. I believe what I was taught. And I don't know. I'm just...
What do you believe, man?
Wait. What do Catholics believe? Do Catholics believe that only Catholics will be saved? Or do they believe something else?
Well, if you...
Sorry, you broke up. One more time?
If you were raised correctly, yes.
Yes, because Catholics believe that only Catholics will be saved?
Right, because you keep the Lord's canon, you keep the Lord's law.
So just to clarify, do you believe that as a Catholic?
Well, I'm nobody.
It's okay to believe that, man. Just yes or no.
Let me
say, I'm nobody, and not rich, but I'm nobody. When it comes to, telling you what to do or say.
I'm not asking you to tell me what to do or say. I'm asking what you believe.
I believe I have a better path to heaven by being Catholic and believing in Catholic canon and Catholic doctrine.
What will happen to the people who do not believe in Catholicism?
I'm not God, so I
don't. Okay. It's fair enough to say you don't know, right? That's a fair answer to say you don't know. Okay, fair enough.
But whatever it is, it's not. It's the opposite of being saved. It's what the Catholics are the ones being saved from? Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
But we don't know what this question mark is that Yahweh intends to do to all of the people who aren't Catholics.
Exactly.
But it's probably a bad thing, right?
It's what you believe. I'm not telling you to believe the way I believe. And
well, thank you, because it would have worked anyway if you'd done it.
Right, I'm not trying to convert anybody. I'm just saying that's my belief.
All right, yeah, fair enough. And you are entitled to it, sir, and thank you for the call. I appreciate you explaining it to answer those. They're tough questions, so thank you.
I was just curious.
Thank you. Let's go to Chuck. He's in Washington. Chuck, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Aria.
Wow. I just wanted to say, I don't mean to attack any of the callers or anything like that, but it sounds like he's got a better fire insurance plan, and how do I take advantage of that?
You talking about our last caller?
Yeah.
That's got to be some sort of joke that I don't get.
It's some kind of joke.
Well, a fire insurance plan is referencing to the belief system that some of the Christians have when they say that when you challenge them and say, well, how can you believe in this? And then they say, well, it's better to go to hell than heaven. So ultimately, at the end of their life, it's an insurance system.
Oh, isn't that Pascal's wager?
They just believe hard enough. I don't know. But if you just believe hard enough, then you'll get there. You know what I mean? And if you just believe my way, which is the right way, you'll get there with me.
Yeah, see, I don't agree at all. And this is sort of my issue. I tend to think, look, I'm not a violent and petty God in the way that Yahweh is defined or described, but I'm not a God at all. And I tend to think if I was, and I had someone here who was worshiping someone else, let's say Ian and I, we both were universes. My people are worshiping Ian, and some of my people are worshiping no one. They're just saying, we don't know what to believe, so we're not believing anything. It seems to me like the ones who don't believe anything are preferred over the ones who are actively worshiping a different God. So it seems to me like the consequences of picking the wrong God are higher and worse than the consequences of picking no God at all.
Isn't it kind of magic, though, you think? I mean, it kind of gets into the whole notion of you know, magic and that sort of thing.
Well, it's only magic as in, like, these religious beliefs have cast a spell over individuals.
Well, yes, they do. I mean, let's talk about that. Because there was a guy, I can't remember this guy's name, he's a genius. He gets interviewed on Joe Rogan quite regularly, and he talks about mushrooms and everything like that. But he talks about, let's talk about in the Catholic belief, the whole...
Hold that thought, Chuck. I want to make sure you have a chance to express it here fully. The mushroom guy. I think I know who he's talking about.
I do not.
I don't know his name. He's like probably the most preeminent like mycologist out there right now. Stamets? Is it Paul Stamets? I think that might be his name. There's more coming up here. Hour number three is on the way. You can share your thoughts on religion or whatever's on your mind here on Free Talk Live.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamgaday.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamgaday.com. Teamgaday.com.